Thanks for listening to the Get Over Yourself podcast, brought to you by Carol Fit Stationary Bike Program, 8-minute workouts to get super fit. Perfect Keto, the cleanest, highest potency ketone supplements. MOFO, male optimization formula with organs to boost testosterone. Let's get checked at home testing kits. Try LGC.com. Almost Heaven, beautiful compact home use sauna kits. Brad's macadamia masterpiece, the mind-blowing nut butter blend. And check out bradkearns.com/shop, my personal selection of favorite products for health, fitness, and peak performance. And here we go with the show. Your workout lasts for too long of a duration. You're under fight or flight for too long of a duration, where more benefits would come if the workout was shorter in duration and all the efforts were tremendously explosive and performed with impeccable form. We have to realize that the human is incapable of delivering maximum all-out effort for more than around 20 seconds. If you're waking up the next day after your deadlift session and you got aches and pains and soreness, you overdid it. And now that protein assembly is going to be devoted to repairing muscle tissue rather than growing it or preserving it. It's time for the Mofo-bition, assignment number 6. Hit it hard. Challenge your body with brief, intense strength training sessions and all-out sprints. Explosive efforts will prompt a spike of testosterone and human growth hormone in the bloodstream with tremendous adaptive anti-aging benefits. A couple formal sessions a week lasting 10 to 30 minutes is plenty. Also include micro workouts, my call for the fitness breakthrough of the century. These are places where you haul off a single set of deep squats in your office, a set of pull-ups when you walk through the bathroom door. Whatever it is, brief bursts of explosive effort that really add up over time. That is assignment number 6. How you doing so far? We're halfway through. To recap, remember the first 5. Sleep is number 1. Then we're going to clean up your act. That's ditching toxic foods, toxic substances, toxic relationships, and toxic energy in your life. Number 3 is to eat ancestral foods, especially sustainably raised animals in a nose-to-tail strategy, and complementing that with the nutritious foods of the earth as you prefer, vegetables, fruits, nuts, seeds, stuff like that, and especially zero tolerance for today's modern nutrient-deficient foods or food-like substances, grains, sugars, sweetened beverages, and refined industrial seed oils. Assignment number 4 was to pound the MOFO. That's right, a strategic supplementation program to help re-energize and nourish your cells at the basic level so you can have that energy and motivation to accomplish the other assignments. And assignment number 5 was to move frequently. Just increase all forms of general everyday movement in life, but hit it hard. This is going to be one of my favorite ones because it's life-changing stuff to become a strong, powerful, explosive person. I feel like we're really messing this one up in general because we have huge segments of the population who are health and fitness-minded, but they never seem to open up the throttle all the way, right? You know, Stairmaster guy who's in the gym 4 days a week, bringing in a magazine to put on the little stand on the stair climber or on the exercise bike and watching CNN with everybody else and getting that nice cardio accumulated of 30 or 60 minutes, but never putting their body under a heavy resistance load or testing out that all-out performance when you're doing a sprint, especially a weight-bearing sprint, which has the most profound fat loss and bone density benefits. So we have that category of people who are never really doing any explosive exercise. And then we have the other category of the CrossFit freak who's overdoing the intensity on a routine basis and going into breakdown, burnout, illness, and injury repeatedly. So particularly what's the mistake that I see is people going out and doing high intensity workouts that last too long. And when you go out there with your enthusiastic personal trainer or go into the boot camp class at a typical health club or a spin class, and you're doing 10 times 30-second sprints with 30 seconds rest after you did the first mountain climb of the Tour de France that took 8 minutes, and the finish of the workout 57 minutes later, you're kind of exhausted, but you're still able to high-five the person on the adjacent bike, and you feel like you accomplished a great workout and you're getting fitter and all those great things. But if you do these in a routine pattern, what you are doing is you are chronically overstimulating the fight or flight response, the stress hormones in the bloodstream. So your workout lasts for too long of a duration. You're under fight or flight for too long of a duration, where more benefits would come if the workout was shorter in duration and all the efforts were tremendously explosive and performed with impeccable form. Because invariably what happens when you're out there on the track running intervals, or even when you're doing repeat sets of lifting the heavy bar, whatever it is, squats and deadlifts, and you're doing the 5x5 protocol with the superset added on, where you're doing something for the upper body, and then you're going and doing it again, and you're in the gym for an hour and 27 minutes, this can easily lead to that chronic problem of breakdown, burnout, illness, and injury. I did an entire show on the characterization of HIT versus HURT. That's an article title written by my main man, Dr. Craig Marker, one of the great breakthrough articles in many years on the concept of fitness and performing high-intensity explosive exercise properly. So I'm just going to recap briefly, but the HIIT workout that is so popular in the fitness scene, that stands for high intensity interval training, is by characterization, it's where you repeat these high intensity efforts over and over with insufficient rest, such that at the end of the set, you are pretty much depleted and exhausted, or at the end of the workout. And so I made that example of spin class where they're asking you to sprint for 30 seconds, or we sprint for a minute and we rest for 2 minutes, or whatever it is. We have to realize that the human is incapable of delivering maximum all-out effort for more than around 20 seconds. Then we decelerate, we lose that explosive performance. But if you ask your body to perform maximum intensity for longer than 20 seconds, what's happening is you are engaging these tremendous cellular breakdown mechanisms in the body to fuel that ATP energy furnace that's burning so brightly, that's trying to get you around the track for, let's say, doing a full sprint around the track that takes a minute and 15 seconds or whatever it is. So if that's your template for a sprint workout, it's not really a maximum intensity training session. It's more of a sport-specific or competition-specific training session. So if you're running the quarter mile on your college track team or in master's track, yeah, you're going to have to do workouts that approximate the challenge of your competitive goal. But these should be done very carefully, probably less frequently than most people do them, especially the casual enthusiasts. And if you want to properly focus on delivering a maximum intensity sprint or explosive resistance training effort with the maximum hormonal benefits, what you want to do is make these efforts very brief in the sweet spot of 10 to 20 seconds, which I talk about in detail on the other podcast. But that's the spot where you're going to get maximum fitness stimulation, and you're going to minimize this cellular breakdown that I described, or more better described by Dr. Marker in the article. So here's a quote. What's happening inside your body during one of these kick-ass workouts, when you're pushing it for a longer period of time than 20 seconds, you're resting not that long, and then you're doing it again, is, quote, your physiology fights to keep up by breaking down the basic components of your cells, your A-frames, through chemical reactions called disassembling and deamination. This results in ammonia toxicity in the bloodstream, which is especially harmful to brain cells. It results in a degradation of mitochondria, diminished ATP energy production even at rest, and a disruption in aerobic metabolism, your fat burning. And what's going to happen, translation from the science there, is that you're going to feel like crap for 24 to 48 hours after challenging workouts, and then you'll stabilize just enough, you know, you'll rebuild, regenerate, you know, have some protein reassembly through your diet and your recovery. And then you'll be just in time after a few days of recovery to destroy your A-frames all over again at the next workout. So the way out of this, the way to conduct a properly structured, high intensity repeat training session, that's the characterization from Dr. Marker in the article, is to keep those explosive efforts between 10 and 20 seconds duration. So that might be a sprint down the running track. It might be kettlebell swings, right? For you're going to do a swing for 10 seconds. And then a big key is to engage in what Dr. Marker calls luxurious rest intervals. So you have plenty of rest and recovery to rejuvenate. You're going to regenerate some ATP during that recovery period. And then your successive sprints or your successive kettlebell swings or whatever it is, the box jumps, whatever you're doing for that 10-second period, are going to be just as high quality as the first one. So my template sprint workout is 8 times 70 meters running down the football field. And that takes, oh, probably around 10 seconds. I'm not sure, but it's on the low side of that sweet spot for an explosive effort. And then after each one, I'm taking that luxurious rest interval of at least a minute. So we want like a 5 or 6 to 1 ratio of work effort to rest period. And this was a huge transformation for me, because me and my endurance mindset and my willingness to endure pain and suffering to complete a fantastic workout, I would do my sprint workouts where I'd sprint all the way across the football field, 100 meters, and then I'd take maybe 15 or 20 seconds rest and blast out another one and another and another. And of course, I could do it at the time because I was pumped up and focused and psyched up and excited to do a sprint workout. But guess what happened? 24, 36, 48 hours later, I'm walking around, my calves are sore to the touch, I'm limping around the house, I feel like crap, I have to take an afternoon nap because I'm just wiped out from what happened, that disassembling and deamination and that ammonia toxicity in my bloodstream that's frying my brain cells and allowing them to, you know, fall apart rather than stay focused during the afternoon blues period. So it's really, really important to do those sprint workouts crisply and not staying out there too long. So maybe a range of 4 to 10 reps is fine for almost everyone, even high performing athletes. You just go faster, right? You don't have to do 14 sprints or 20 sprints. Anywhere from 4 to 10, the sprints lasting between 10 and 20 seconds with a, let's say, a 6 to 1 recovery interval. So that's a great model to do a sprint workout correctly. And of course, applies to any form of explosive effort, kettlebell swings, box jumps, what have you. Now, when it comes to strength training and putting your body under resistance load, the idea here, or the optimal way of doing this, is to choose full body functional movements. These are things that correlate to what you're doing in real life, in sporting, in fitness activities, and in just basic everyday chores and routines. So this can be all manner of explosive exercise, and it really comes down to your preference. So don't listen to anybody who says that free weights are better than machines, or the pull ropes and the TRX is the superior to everything else, nor to the talk about the necessity of muscle confusion, where you have to choose a different workout every time. And that's why when we show up at the CrossFit studio, the workout's dramatically different from the day before and different from the day before that. If you feel like doing the same thing every day, guess what? You're going to be a pretty fit machine if you go and do, like Jack LaLanne did, whatever, 1,000 push-ups and 1,000 sit-ups every morning, same exact thing every day. I don't think it hurt his fitness quotient that he was able to perform that amazing work without the variation or the muscle confusion. His muscles weren't confused. They were hitting the ground for 1,000 push-ups. How did you do when you were 58 years old? Okay, point taken, right? But the strength training modalities are numerous. All kinds of great stuff in the gym. Thumbs up to everything, including CrossFit, as long as it's done properly and maybe curtail the duration of the template workout. Squats and deadlifts, things that are functional and bringing in huge muscle groups and going across a wide range of motion. motion. Squats, deadlifts, leg presses, box jumps, push-ups, pull-ups, all that body weight stuff, overhead presses, things like a rope climb or a kettlebell swing, and of course, all the great stuff you can do with cables, straps, stretch cords, and much more. I'm a huge fan of the X3 bar. I just discovered this amazing new workout modality promoted by Dr. John Jaquish. Had him on my podcast, learned a lot from him. He's a free thinker and has a lot of ideas that are contrary to mainstream fitness, and I believe really advancing the dialogue accordingly. But check out x3bar.com. It's truly an amazing philosophy here, because what you're doing is you're using these heavy resistance straps, right? These heavy, thick rubber bands attached to the bar, the X3 bar. So what happens is you're allowed to, or you're enabled to apply maximum resistance at the point where you can achieve maximum force production. That's when the strap stretches the most at the end of the move. So for example, you can see this stuff on the videos on the website, but when you're doing a chest press, you have the bar in front of you, the straps behind your back, and you're extending the strap as you raise your arms off your body. And so the toughest part, of course, is when the strap is stretched to the maximum. And the easiest part, of course, is when the strap is pretty much slack and you're lifting the bar off your chest. Same with doing a deadlift where the strap is on the ground, the bar's in your hands, and you're lifting the bar further and further off the ground, stretching the strap further and further. I hope you can understand what I'm talking about. Otherwise, you know, click over and watch the video. But the key takeaway point here is that this ability to apply maximum resistance at the point of maximum force production is the opposite of what happens when you're lifting a heavy bar. So when I'm trying to bench press, and I can bench press about 130, whoop-de-doo, less than my body weight, not super impressive, but I'm constrained by my ability to lift that bar off my chest the first 6 inches, right? So I can only lift 130 pounds off my chest. That's as much as I can use. Now, if I were able to have a bar handed to me when my arms were almost fully extended, of course I could move the bar that final 6 inches, even if it were 200 or 230 pounds. And in fact, that's what's happening. The correlation between stretching the X3 bar strap, those final 6 inches, is effectively working with a 230 pound bench press instead of 130 pounds. So hopefully you get that concept. And what you're enabling here is a very short workout that's extremely strenuous and recruits a lot of muscle fibers and does a great job in a short time. So whatever strength training you like to do, the key is that you want these explosive full body functional movements. You don't want the workout to last that long, right? So 30 minutes is plenty. And if you do a total accumulated work amount of 12 minutes or 14 minutes or whatever, that's plenty. You're sending the genetic signals to your body to flood the bloodstream with these adaptive hormones, like I talked about in the description, and to build or maintain muscle fiber. It does not require a 2-hour workout. Yeah, so short and sweet. You can get so much done in a short time, which makes the objective, the assignment, doable to anybody. Especially the people that are out there putting in hours and hours on the roads, trying to keep up their 30 miles a week if they're a longtime runner, or a bike rider putting in that 7 or 8 or 10 hours of pedaling every single week. A few minutes of explosive work will produce dramatic fitness benefits, especially when it comes to weight-bearing sprinting. So back to say a little bit more about that particular workout. And if you can work up to that, that's great. If right now you can't very much handle running on flat ground, you can progress there by doing sprints on a bicycle or on a cardio machine that's non-weight-bearing. You're still getting the explosive output with your muscles. You're just not taking that that impact and that jarring. But when you can work up to weight-bearing sprinting, that's when you have the maximum signaling for fat reduction. Think about it this way. The penalty for carrying excess body fat when you're sprinting at maximum speed is huge. in contrast to when you're jogging along for a 5-hour marathon and you're carrying 10 or 20 pounds of excess body fat, which marathoners routinely carry because their training program is not calibrated to stimulate fat reduction. It's calibrated to eat more food in direct association with how many calories you burn when you're out there running, especially if you're running at slightly above that aerobic maximum heart rate and burning a little bit more glucose and less fat than you could be if you were honoring the 180 minus age calculation that you heard about in assignment number 5 show. So here, what we want to do is just sprinkle in these brief efforts and even a workout lasting, let's say 10 minutes or 15 minutes, a sprint workout, including the drills and maybe adding more time for warm up and cool down, right? But a very short duration workout will have profound metabolic effects lasting for up to 72 hours after the workout. Your body is getting a profound signal to upregulate fat burning, improve all other functions such as immune function, cognitive function. It's known to stimulate things like brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF, miracle grow for the brain. The Harvard doctor who coined that phrase calls it. And this maximum workout efforts really have a tremendous effect on overall health, bone density, fat loss signaling, all that great stuff. So just to recap the necessary elements of a proper sprint workout. You do a gradual warm-up, and that's just cardiovascular exercise, whether it's pedaling on a bike or jogging or jog walking, whatever your fitness capability is. You just want to be breaking a light sweat and notice your respiration and your heart rate well above normal. And then we go through some dynamic stretching, and you can look on YouTube, pre-workout dynamic stretching, Brad Kearns, and you'll see a bunch of great drills. And then you're going to do some technique drills. These are things that help your central nervous system get ready to execute good technique during the all-out sprint, and they also kind of exaggerate the various elements of good technique for sprinting. So you're going to do like lifting your heel high and doing the heel kicks, or you're doing the high knees or the hamstring kickouts. So these drills are really, really important to get yourself primed, your nervous system and your muscles primed to produce energy during the main set of the workout. You can also do some wind sprints that last only a few seconds. So you kind of just start out and pick it up to high speed, and it only lasts for 3 to 5 seconds, and then you decelerate. So it's just kind of like testing out the engine, flooring the gas pedal for a couple seconds, and then letting up off the pedal. And then the main set, of course, to recap, are intervals lasting, or sprints lasting 10 to 20 seconds, luxurious rest interval lasting 6 times as long as the sprint. And then each time you step up back to the line, you want to feel fully refreshed and energized to deliver another peak performance effort, high intensity repeat training. How many should you do between that 4 to 10 suggestion? Well, guess what? When you're out there, invariably, you're going to find on your 5th or 6th one or wherever it's at, you're going to notice a little tiny bit of a breakdown in form, maybe some muscle tightness that wasn't there on the first couple. Something's going to happen to give you a little warning signal that you've done a great job for the day and you want to leave a little bit extra in the tank. This notion, this struggle and suffer, no pain, no gain notion that has permeated the fitness industry for decades, it's time to reject that once and for all. And I talk about a lot of the great leaders conveying this idea. The Hit versus Hurt article by Dr. Craig Marker, Dr. Phil Maffetone has been saying for years that you shouldn't really get sore during your strength training sessions. In other words, if you're waking up the next day after your deadlift session and you got aches and pains and soreness, you overdid it. And now that protein assembly is going to be devoted to repairing muscle tissue rather than growing it or preserving it. And so we don't want to have those interruptions to the flow, to the progression of fitness that are caused by overly stressful workouts. Look up on YouTube, Joe Rogan, Firas Zahabi, Don't Get Sore. And you'll see this video clip of lasting 8 minutes where this noted MMA trainer, Firas Zahabi, was telling Joe Rogan that he doesn't like his athletes to ever get sore during workouts. And Joe Rogan was tripping out on the air like, what the F you talking about, man? I get sore after every single workout I do. What do you mean? You mean for beginners? He goes, no, I mean for everybody, including world champions. And so we're having this great awakening that I want you to become a part of as you especially as you venture out to do these explosive high-intensity workouts. We don't want them to be too strenuous, too muscle soreness producing, and becoming discouraging because they're too tough. So just going out there and opening up the throttle a little bit feels fantastic. It's so much fun. And I'm telling you this from a lifelong endurance athlete who spent decades, of course, immersed in my career racing on the pro circuit where we were doing tremendous over distance work and, of course, going fast once in a while, but it was mostly about the hours and hours of training. And now with my new hobbies, like trying to break the speed golf world record for the fastest hole or going for the extremely explosive event of high jump, where the effort basically, you're basically spending 1 second in the air and you're spending, I don't know, 3 or 4 seconds on the approach. So I've gone from a racer on the Olympic distance circuit racing for 2 hours to doing something that takes 5 seconds. It's a great awakening and it's a great new challenge. And I feel like it's vastly more correlated with healthy life, anti-aging, longevity than the extreme endurance stuff. So we have talked about brief explosive all-out sprints, and I talk mostly about running, but if you have to do it on the bike, honor those same parameters, like doing some warm-up wind sprints and then getting into the 10 to 20 second sprint efforts. Now, if you're going on no or low impact, you can kind of push it to the higher duration of the 10 to 20 second range. And if you're doing running sprints on the ground, high impact, you can kind of stick toward that 10 second duration. That's plenty for a proper sprint. And then the final thing I want to add to the assignment here is this wonderful, exciting new concept of micro workouts. So these are where you're going about your busy day, but you take a nice little break to haul off a set of 20 deep squats in your cubicle and then back to work. Or I've given many examples on different shows devoted to this topic, but I have the pull-up bar that's hung over my closet door. So whenever I go into my closet to go get a post-it note from the storage drawer or get a garment or whatever, I haul off a single set of pull-ups. It's not a big deal, right? It's not going to make me tired or compromise my performance in tomorrow's important strength training session. But if we talk again 365 days later and I say, yeah, you know what? I haul off a set of pull-ups now and then when I go through my closet door, or my other famous example, I have a hexagonal deadlift bar in my side yard and it happens to be on the path from the kitchen to the garbage barrel. So whenever I throw away a bag of garbage, I go over there and I do a single set of deadlifts. Maybe it's 6 reps of 200 pounds. Maybe sometimes I'll feel like doing 2 sets while I water the plants out in the yard or what have you. But these are these miniature workouts that aren't that strenuous, that kind of fly under the radar of that fight or flight response that I talked about, overstimulating it and the great dangers and risks that occur from being a fight or flight junkie when you're doing these hour and 20 minute workouts. So when you're going hard for 1 minute, it's basically like nothing to your body. But if you add it up over time, the fitness benefit is absolutely phenomenal. And perhaps the number one benefit of doing these micro workouts is that they break up these prolonged periods of stillness that are so prevalent in daily life. And by doing so, you're delivering tremendous metabolic benefits to the body. You're enhancing fat burning. You're getting more oxygen and blood delivered to the brain. So your cognitive function, your productivity at the workplace is improved. And oh my goodness, there's like no excuse not to try these things because they take so little time and have so much tremendous benefit. They also raise the platform from which you launch these formal workouts where you are going into the gym or you're doing a home strength training session that's lasting for 15 or 20 or 30 minutes because you've done those pull-ups over time. When you do a proper session, it's way easier and your injury risk is greatly reduced. So The thing about this is you got to make it simple and convenient. I favor putting contraptions in your home environment or your work environment that are begging to be used. A kettlebell over there in the corner. Maybe you could paint a smiley face on it with a magic marker and even graffiti on it saying, lift me, swing me, please. I love the attention. My colleague at Primal Blueprint, Dr. Lindsay Taylor, social psychologist by training, she always is blending wonderfully the insights between her fitness interests and her background. And she says, quote, all of our behaviors are triggered by something. Whether we're conscious of it or not, we can improve our goal setting and decision-making capabilities by optimizing our environment and making behavior triggers obvious. So, oh my goodness, my home environment is so set up now, especially during quarantine, with all these fitness contraptions everywhere the eye can be found, and they don't take up a lot of space, but I can do so many things in my living room. It's absolutely fantastic. The X3 bar is sitting there, strapped up, ready to go. I have my stretch cords hanging from the ceiling. I have my little mini bands on the ground. I have a kettlebell sitting there. I have a chair, a folding chair, that I can do my Bulgarian split squats on. And it's so simple, but the visual reminder is super powerful. So that about wraps up the assignment, people, to hit it hard with full body functional strength training exercises, brief, explosive, all-out sprints with plenty of rest, high-intensity repeat training, and finally, the wonderful world of micro workouts. Sprinkle them in to your busy daily schedule. Thanks for listening to MOFO Mission Number 6, Hit It Hard. Thank you for listening to the show. We would love your feedback at getoveryourselfpodcast@gmail.com. And we would also love if you could leave a rating and a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. I know it's a hassle. You have to go to desktop iTunes, click on the tab that says ratings and reviews, and then click to rate the show anywhere from 5 to 5 stars. And it really helps spread the word so more people can find the show and get over themselves because they need to. Thanks for doing it.